to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Hey, welcome back. Talking PPG Radio. Will Jones here. It is Saturday night, and I want to post this. One of the reasons why I want to post this on the big list there. If y'all remember, I had talked about how the hotel wanted to charge for internet, and I was like, what the heck? I know, but anyway, I guess I'm just a cheapskate. But the funny thing is, though, Dominic Vientonio out of Ohio and Dave Schultz kind of replied back and said, man, go ahead and post stuff. I'll send you $20. Well, David Schultz showed up today and gave me $20 with my name on it. So here I am. I'm posting this tonight. I thought I was going to get a chance to post it earlier, and but it's been such a great day of flying, or several days of flying, and it's actually supposed to be good in the morning, but the weather's supposed to come in on Sunday. So I'm actually going to take off and head back to the house tomorrow morning, but I wanted to go ahead and post this so you guys can kind of get an idea of who was all here, and you missed it. Absolutely missed it. I would suggest that you plan for next year. I got a lot of like little interviews, a lot of little short things I got to put together for the next episode on the Beach Blast. So very, you know, I haven't been to a lot of fly-ins, but man, this is A1. Everything right now. Every fly-in that I go to after this, I will probably compare it to this fly-in here. Fly all day, sandy beach, hot, poolside, the accommodations. I will have YouTube videos up. I'll even show you the golf villa, which is what I ended up staying in, and talking to the guys that actually stayed in the towers on the beach side. They said they were condos, and they were just as good. So there is not one bad point that I could even think of bringing up. I'm going to try to get in touch with some people who actually attended the Beach Blast and get their opinion and what they think about the Beach Blast, but I don't think you will find one person that, well, I take that back. There's always one that has something bad to say about anything. So, but anyway, that's all right. Maybe it is a valid point if there is that one person out there. You know, at least got to listen. So, but anyway, what I have for you is the roundtable conversation that at 2:00 on Friday. We had several people. You will recognize the names. I'm not going to sit here and tell you exactly who they are, but just listen and it gets really, really good. Not, you know, it's funny because it's heated, but not heated. So some people had some points to say. I think some people were still holding back, but that's fine. We're going to try to keep this conversation over, especially between the two groups, which you will hear, like USPA and USFA. I can't think of how it's said. I don't know anything about the hang glider, paraglider, glider group, so I'm going to get some more information on that, maybe even try to get in touch with them and see what their point of view on about motoring. So sit back. I have to apologize. There are some spots in this. The mic that I was using wanted to act up, so and you may hear a jump like, whoa, how did we get there real fast? That's because I did have to edit out some really bad spots where you could not understand them, period. I was going to try to do this really unedited because I didn't want, I wanted to everything, even the breathing. So, you know, we're sitting in it and we're sitting there by poolside, just relaxing and, under the, Planet PPG and also the Paradrenaline tent. And I want to thank Paul Zornicki at Planet PPG for getting this together. And I tell you what, I'm going to stop talking and let you guys listen. So, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. I got a lot of stuff I got to do when I get back home. So, thanks. Bye.
Well, guys, welcome. Will Jones talking PPG Radio down here at the Beach Blast. I have got a group of people just, and I'm not going to sit here and try to introduce them all. I'm going to let them introduce you. You want to introduce? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to hand it over to Paul from Planet PPG and let him introduce everybody, and we'll get started.
Here you go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Talking PPG Radio with Will Jones. Today at the beautiful Edgewater Beach Resort in Panama City, Florida, we have director of the event, John Black. We have Del Shanzi. We have Paul Anthem. We have Chris Santacroce. We have Brewster, Bad Apple number one. We have Andy McGavin, the MacPair importer. And we have Bill Cosby, the Nirvana dealer and importer. So, number one, now that we've got everybody introduced, Will's got a couple questions for everyone, and we're going to do this very quickly because we know that Chris has something he's got to do. And welcome again to another edition of Talking PPG Radio, right here live from Edgewater Beach Resort in Panama City, Florida.
All right. Thanks, Paul. All right, guys, just got a couple of questions, and please chime up. I'm going to hand you the mic, and if you got something to say, I want to hear it. Everybody wants to hear it. The first question we're going to go with is, what can we do as far as to bring more people into the sport? How can we, this is a great way to get people into it, is, Chris has got his hand already up. I tell you what, I'll just stop there and let him go with it. All right.
All right, so, Chris here, and it's great to be here. Thanks, Will. I guess the best thing, in my opinion, is just to go out there and fly and keep out of trouble, because everyone has a friend that's watching them to see how they're doing with the sport of powered paragliding. And they're, you know, hoping that you have a good time, but the second that you have any trouble at all, sprain a wrist, you know, twist an ankle, you name it, they say, look, wasn't that silly? And all of a sudden, all bets are off. They're not in the game anymore. The record shows when there's a guy who's been flying for a decade and he's never had any trouble, his friends start coming out to fly. Because they say, how could I not do that? He makes it look like so much fun. He stayed out of trouble over the years. That's the best thing you can do, is to go fly and stay out of trouble. Apart from that, there's a certain way to fly that kind of interests people and creates a little bit of mystery. And there's another way that just royally pisses people off. And what I'm speaking about is, if you can, plan to take off one spot, disappear, go do a tour, and maybe even land somewhere else. Because then there's this sort of mystery about, hey, where'd that guy come from, and where is he going? And how'd you end up here? And that's the kind of stuff that brings people out and makes them really want to get into it. One thing that turns people off royally is when you buzz around one place. It just, they tune into how loud the noise is and how annoying it can be, and it's like a fly zipping around their head, and all of a sudden there is no mystery. They've seen it, and they have no more interest. They just want it to go away. So, you know, everyone has their 2 cents. That's mine, and back to you, Will.
Any other suggestions?
I'm Brewster from the Bad Apple Flyers in Atlanta. And just to back up what Chris said, back in about 1985, Sea-Doos were brand new. The first one was a Yamaha Wave Runner. Remember it? I had one of the first ones. It was so cool. People would call you over and say, hey, what is that thing? Well, guess what? They don't call you over anymore. They hate them. You know what I'm saying? Back then, it was cool. It was unique. So just to back up what he's saying, the uniqueness goes away in a hurry if you just keep buzzing around the same area.
All right. John, you have anything?
Oh. Yeah, John Black, Director of Beach Blast here. And first of all these guys, great to have all these guys around the table here. A lot of knowledge, a lot of years in this sport. The one thing we really need to do in our sport is respect each other. I'm real big on the respect into this sport, and if we start respecting each other more and treating each other the way we want the public to see us and how they want us to treat them, our sport will change for the better. And just talking to people are curious about our sport. You know, be excited about the sport just like you were the first day you flew. Be a good ambassador. Take time to talk to people and recognize their enthusiasm. And this sport will go a long way. We're trying to expose this sport to the public and do it in a responsible manner. And as most people can see here at Beach Blast on Panama City Beach, we're getting a great response. The audience loves the pilots. They love being entertained. And the sport's going to go a long ways. It's still in its infancy. And each one of the pilots here is responsible for the direction it goes.
Thanks, John. Dale? You had something to say?
Hey, this is Del Shanzi, man. It was freaking awesome! It was so freaking fun! I was diving out of the sky like 80 miles an hour. Woo-hoo! I think the key is having fun. Because it's just like training a dog. They got good experiences, they got bad experiences. The more good experiences people have, see, hear about, the more they're going to have fun, the more they're going to get in the sport. So better equipment, better training, you know, better people, more friendly, more enthusiasm, more energy, everything up. Get rid of injuries, get rid of deaths, get rid of all the crap that's happening, and just fix problems and just, man, take that extra time to turn people into really good pilots. There's so many people that get into it, you know, they get 2 days of being shown how to launch, never learn how to fly, and they struggle with it, crash, break stuff, hurt themselves, and it's a bad experience, and they share it with 1,000 people that they know that they had a bad experience. But if you take that extra time and focus and polish them off so they're freaking awesome, then they look good, they have fun, they stay in the sport for a long time, and they make it look really good. So, want to progress, do things right, take the extra time, make it happen, make people get the right equipment, all good stuff, top quality, certified, keep them safe.
Will, what I love is you saying to Dell, Dell, have you got something to say?
Okay, all right, I should have knew better. All right.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Andy McCavin here. I'll go along with what Dell's saying. There's a misconception in the sport amongst a lot of newbies that you can get trained in 2 or 3 days. I run into this all the time. And yes, you can get somebody in the air in a couple of days, but that does not mean that they are going to be a good pilot and that they're going to go out and make the sport look good. So to all the newbies out there, just realize that it takes more than a couple of days for just about 99% of the people out there. So don't fall for the quick sales pitch, you know, yeah, I'll get you in the air for, you know, so much money or for free or whatever, and 2 days later you're going to be in the air flying. Get good training, take your time, and you'll stay in the sport a long time, and you won't be one of the myriad of guys that has a PPG in their garage that they haven't flown for years because they're scared to death of it because they didn't get trained initially. Good training. So the other thing I'd like to say is we would all like to see a lot more women in the sport. There are just a handful of women in the sport, and this sport should be open to the babes. And the babes.
The babes. That was
50-year-old, 60-year-old babes, I don't care. Oh. Women, the women.
Say babes, the women.
The women, the ladies. Yeah, them too. Them babes that are women, you know, the ladies.
Bad apple chicks. Bad apple chicks. The chicks.
Yeah, we need more women. There you go.
Great.
Son? All right, hang on.
Yeah, this is Bill with Paradrenaline, and I want to address something that nobody's talked about yet. And that would be the equipment that is out here at the Beach Blast right now. And I want to say, it's nothing but fine equipment. All of this equipment is great. And each piece of equipment here has a specific buyer for it. And you don't have to have the best equipment. All of this equipment is considered the best equipment. Other people's equipment does not have to be bad equipment for mine to be good equipment, in other words. I just want to say there's a lot of good equipment here. All of them have hiccups. We all have bumps to work out with our equipment. Some a few more than others. But for the most part, this is all great equipment out here, and I think a lot of people getting into this sport right now are confused about what equipment to buy. And I think it's based on price. If you're going to start out at the low end of the price scale, that's what you're going to get. With that said, I just want to say again, my equipment does not have to be bad equipment for yours to be good. And that's all I got to say.
Thanks. Oh, hang on, Paul.
Restate the question again.
I have a short extension span. See, I told you. As far as for the sport, what I try to do is just kind of bring it down a level. I have a feeling, because perception of the sport, other people's perception of the sport is a big thing of how they will accept us. And everyone made a good point about buzzing around the same area, and the novelty does wear off very, very fast. So I try to bring it down a level and make some little silly movies where people see that it's not some really special people out there. It can be you. And we're just having fun. And they're not some highly trained pilots, although they should be. So I kind of do it from the, I have the moron out there making these mistakes, and hopefully that, in a sense, reiterates that all these things can happen if you don't get good training. If you are stupid, you can hurt yourself, but I try to do it in a fun way. And like I said, and hopefully people kind of see that and say, hey, that looks fun, that guy's having fun with that, even though I know he's just acting and making really bad movies. And I always try to show some different flights and stuff of actual good pilots. And but just basically, hopefully that will... the perception is the big thing. Because I have a feeling that people look at us, and after that 30 seconds of the novelty wears off, they might think, was he allowed to do that or something like that? But if they kind of say, hey, that might be my neighbor down the road flying, that's pretty cool, then that perception might slowly be a little bit different. You know, hey, that's just some guys having fun. And once they learn about the sport, because, you know, if I go knock on some farmer's door, I better bring a picture of a powered paraglider and say, this is what I want to do, and launch off your land. Because right now, no one knows what it is, okay? So hopefully you get it out there in a fun way, and people will start accepting it as a sport and not as a nuisance. Hey, are they allowed to do that? Because we do have a very unique sport, and it's actually amazing that we can go skim some fields and buzz around at below 500 feet.
Okay, thanks. Okay, all right, of course there's negative in our sport, and in the past I'm sure we've all seen videos and like the big list. When I first got into the sport, of course, knew, looking for all the information I could, I go to the big list, I have questions, afraid to post because you're probably going to get slammed. Bodies literally picked up and slammed. What do we do to try to keep the negative out of the sport like that? Well, I mean, it should be, as a new guy, should be able to get on the big list and not be afraid, you know, because it took me probably 2 or 3 months before I said, okay, I'm going to post something and see if I can, you know, if I get a decent response. And there are some guys like Barry, which I wish he was here. He was one of the guys that I posted something, and it seems like he was really, when you listen to it, or read his post, he's like, okay, he really thought about it, and it sounds like he knows what he's doing. So what do you guys think we need to do as far as to try to keep the negative? You know, I know y'all talking about, you know, if buzzing around, any other things that you guys can think of to help keep that out of sport, to keep us, you know, looking good in the public's eye.
John Black here again. I think... one thing is expected behavior. We have to raise the level of expectation in the sport of PPG to a level to where we say, that's not acceptable. And we're willing to step up to people and go, that behavior is not acceptable. We're not going to tolerate that. And if you tolerate that, you're not going to be in this sport. You're not going to do well in business. And it's just like going in church. You wouldn't go in church and curse the pastor out. Why do people come in this sport and essentially curse our sport out and disrespect our sport? The answer, I think, is simple, because we have allowed it. We change the culture of our sport. We change what is expected behavior, and we respect each other as leaders in this sport, and the rest of the sport will follow.
Andy?
Well, part of the thing is that the internet has a way of giving just about anybody a platform to voice their views. You know, I mean, the internet has changed everything in the past 10, 15 years. And so I think what has to happen is, I mean, because there will always be people that get on the internet, that get on the forums and stuff, and rant and try to dominate the forum. I mean, there's some people that seem to live by their computer typing out that shit, you know, ad infinitum. And I think there are a lot of people out there that read through it and go, okay, you know, this guy's on a rant, so let's just delete. Everybody has the ability to delete, but the other side of the thing is just, you know, people just need to be nice to each other and realize that this is a sport that is a lot of fun. And remember how few people in the history of mankind have actually been able to do the shit that we do. I mean, it's pretty freaking awesome, to coin a word. And we're blessed. We are really blessed. So let's just remember that and all get along with each other.
Right, Bruce?
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What did you say?
Just like my mom said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Oh, come on, Dale.
Dale, do you have... Yeah, let me add it, okay? Yeah!
Awesome!
Freaking awesome! The truth group is, anyway. The problem with the groups with people bashing is, of course, the moderators that allow it to happen. You know, and then that's the way it is. So you basically need to get away from the groups that are not moderated properly and move towards group where you've got people with integrity and honorability that will be polite and edit out the crap and filter the crap and just stick to the important stuff. Stick to the juice. Allow everybody to talk. I've had Bob Armand in my group. I've had lots of people. And I don't have to moderate. Almost never do I have to moderate everybody because when they come to my group, they expect to be polite. They know if they're using foul language and attacking people, it's not going to go on the group. So other people should follow suit. You know, if all the groups are like that and they let everybody on, as long as you're posting politely and being friendly and being uplifting and adding to the sport and not just bashing things for the sake of bashing things, you know, it's going to make us all look a lot better and improve the image dramatically. Also, you got to separate the equipment and the sales pitches from the people, because it's one thing to say what you believe and point out specifics about equipment, and it's another thing to get personal and, you know, start calling people names and blah, blah, blah. There's no need for that. That's totally worthless and pointless, and there's no value to that at all. So just stick to the fun stuff. Be nice. Be a good example for other people. And, you know, you got to just kind of promote the groups and the moderators that are doing a good job and try and get rid of the ones that aren't. So that'll make a huge difference with the image.
Uh-oh, rebuttal from Andy.
And remember to take your medicine.
Okay, medicine. Paul, you want to get something to Paul?
Yeah, sure, I'll say something. Yeah, when people ask me about the sport, the first thing I tell them, I say, yeah, that flying stuff's neat, really neat and stuff. But the best thing about the sport is all the people in it, and I mean like 99.9% of the people in it are really great. Everyone's so helpful. The knowledgeable people want to share their knowledge. And I say that's really the best part. You can go anywhere in the country, and if you're a powered paraglider pilot and you hook up with them, they'll treat you like a brother. And that's one thing that I really tell people. Now, we are such a diverse group of people from all over America and the world with so many different backgrounds. Like, for instance, we're not all military aviators, so we don't have that common bond or anything. We've got different jobs and different areas that we fly in. And so everyone's, it's just people. We're all going to have some different opinions, and there are going to be some scuffs. And hopefully that's just minimized, and people coming into the sport can see, well, okay, that's a bunch of people. Some people have different opinions. But all in all, even the people that disagree about this or that, they have their merits. I just hope the. But as everyone said, try to keep the personality or not on a personal level. You know, that's no good at all. But I still believe, even when I see some stuff on the internet I don't like seeing, that everyone has their good merits, and it just wouldn't be the same sport if everyone did agree anyway. So we'll just have to kind of live with that.
Well, all right, guys. Well, Paul, yeah, Paul, here, give me the camera. You got something to say? Hold on.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to say about making the sport appeal to more people is to keep the chatter down. You know, to me, the product bashing is very detrimental to the sport. A lot of the guys that come in, they've got money to spend, but they're afraid to do it anyway. And then when they have all this unsure thoughts about this product's better than that and this and that, it makes it very, very difficult. And I find that is a hindrance, and it has a negative impact on potential customers. To get over that, obviously, we need to point out the good parts of the equipment that we're selling and not knock the other guy's stuff while you're doing it. If you're always talking about how good your equipment is and you're not saying how bad the other guy's is, you're going to not only get a lot more respect from your potential customers, but for the surrounding individuals in the industry as well. Overall, the whole perception of everything will increase if everybody's positive and always putting things in a positive light. That to me is probably the biggest thing that we can do. And previously they'd already talked about the training. The, you know, 3-day wonder courses don't cut it. There's been, you know, individuals that offer that, and we find that it's an unmitigated disaster every time. We see them come through Pine Island Airport and Planet PPG and the other instructors that are here. You get them all the time. We call them retreads. They're 3-day wonder course guys, and like Dell said, you know, they may know how to get off the ground if they're lucky and the conditions are good, but they really don't know anything once they get off the ground. So it's important that they learn and get good instruction, take their time, and do it right. Somebody else have anything? All right, back to Will.
Well, that's all I really got for you, man. I mean, thank you, guys. Great. You know, wait a minute. Now, if y'all want to bring some other things up, we can do that. You know, hey, I got plenty of time. Come on, bring it on.
Brewster here from the Bad Apple Flyers. I got to tell you, I've been going to these fly-ins from one coast of this country to the other for the last 12, 13 years. This right here, thanks to that guy right there and his team of people, this fly-in is the most amazing setup I have ever seen. This is the tops, man. This is unbelievable. If you guys out there that were thinking, well, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't, if this happens again, and I pray that it does, this was awesome, John. This is just an outstanding setup, the whole thing. We're having a blast, and thanks to you, man, and your whole team. We're having a beach blast.
Yeah, we're the babes.
You better, the chicks.
Right.
And he keeps on asking about the babes. I just want to say, on the upcoming episodes of PPG for Morons, we will have beach babes.
Oh. Coming soon to a theater near you.
Come on, director.
Well, I've got a question for Will. Why haven't you been in the air yet?
Working, man.
We're gonna get Will in the air here in a few minutes. I saw him watching Santa Croce and Superdell there, and I think he's got some moves to throw down on us.
This is Del Shanzi again. We need to draw on the really skilled pilots in the sport, because the USHPA started, you know, 40 years ago. These guys have talent and skills and things they've developed over 40 years. And it's kind of tricky because, you know, we've started with different this and little offshoots of other organizations, and they've lost a ton of that skill and knowledge and background. And it's hard when I see a lot of things and I'm just watching, and it's obvious they just haven't ever been taught the basics of paragliding. So it'd be nice if people can realize that we don't fly motors, we fly paragliders, and to focus on getting back to the roots and getting to the people that have the absolute mastery of the skills and learning from those people and passing that information on. Because if you got guys out there that are self-taught that, you know, start training, all of a sudden you've lost 40 years of information. So it's horribly destructive destructive to the sport, and I think we've seen way too much of that. People need to get with those guys, whether they love them or hate them. I don't care. I'd be happy to learn from people. You know, I don't care if they're a jerk. If they're awesome, I'm going to learn from them. Doesn't matter. I want to know everything I possibly can so I can have complete mastery. So people should really focus on the long time, the guys that have been around, the guys that have the extreme skills. They need to focus on why. Get with those people, learn the information, pass it on to their students. Lots of stuff. They should start doing clinics, you know, with a lot of these people. Bring the experts around. Bring the Chris Santacrocis, the Enlo Connors, the Brad Ganuccios, the guys that, man, that are just freaking awesome, that have these skills that most people just never see. They don't have them. They're doing things that, because they simply didn't, they didn't grasp that 40 years of knowledge. They didn't benefit from it at all because they didn't get in the down train. They didn't get that downflow of information because they went and trained with people that totally skipped out on that. So expert training and really mastery of the sport, you know, and start from the top. Start with the best organization and really filter that information down. It'll make a huge difference and will, again, make to the bottom line of people really enjoying it instead of having frustrations and difficulties. So lots of fun, man. Do it right. Get the skills. And this sport is a blast. Don't do it right, and it can be less than fun. So let's do it right, have some fun, and go forth and conquer.
So I'd like to ask a rebuttal question. Now, I agree with what you're saying about US HPA, and they haven't embraced the motors. In fact, they specifically said, well, we're not going to do motors. And that caused these other groups to basically come into existence. How do you, what do you have to say about that? You know, why they didn't embrace the motors? Because they could have kept that experience in-house, but yet by them saying, no, we're not going to do the motors, we don't want any powered devices, any, they basically caused USPA and the other groups to exist.
No, it has nothing to do with the motor because you don't fly a motor. No matter what you do, you cannot get off the ground with a motor. So you don't need, they didn't need to bring in motorings. All it is another sign-off. Because what you learn is how to paraglide. You master the paraglider. They've got, you know, probably 40 different sign-offs. You can do, what, tandem sign-offs. You've got towing ratings. You've got thermal ratings. You got cross-country ratings. You have ridge soaring and flying in crowds. There's all kinds of little sign-offs. The motoring, they just said, you know, hey, there's no reason to say, hey, motor, 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 because all it is add to a paraglider. So you master the paraglider, you add the motor. So the USHPA didn't do anything different. They're still teaching people how to fly. That's the bottom line. The motor has nothing to do with anything because you don't fly a motor.
But the point I'm really getting at is this, is that in Florida, for example, unless you're towed up, you need that motor to get off the ground. That's all there is to it. So motor is an integral part of flat land flying. So there, the perception out there is that USHPA said, and they disassociated themselves with the motoring, and as a result caused these other groups to spring into life, namely USPA. So that's my point. USPA said, okay, we do have a motor. It is an integral part of the sport. Let's address specific motor issues. And I think that USHPA not addressing those specific motor issues and having the attitude like you of simply you're only flying the wing. Well, you are flying the wing. I fully agree. But using the motor is an integral part of the sport in flatline flying. How do you respond?
Completely disagree. It's not like we're going to go out and create an organization for towing and all of a sudden, okay, I'm going to start the World Towing Association because the USHPA doesn't say we are the towing administration. It's complete crock of crap, and basically you just threw out 40 years of experience and started an organization that started from nowhere. And so it's a massive loss of education because you threw out 40 years of knowledge, and you've got these guys that are basically self-taught that are never have been USHCA instructors, never have been USHCA administrators, never have had that 40 years of information flown down the hill into their brain. And so when they go out and start an organization, they're basically throwing everything in the garbage, starting from scratch. And they miss that. You can't start from scratch. You got to take guys, you know, if you wanted to get you know, basically P5 master pilots, have them do an offshoot of motors, great. But you got to start from somewhere. You don't want to throw out 40 years of information. So, again, the USHPA did not distance themselves from motors. There's tons of USHPA pilots that train on motoring. It's just not a sign, you know, it's just not an official big, hey, we do motoring, because it's really the paraglider that's the focus. Because all of these little offshoots are just offshoots of paragliding. You can motor it, you can tow it, you can push it, you can do anything you want. But it's paragliding that you do. Don't miss out on the 40 years of knowledge, because you start from scratch, you get hurt.
We do have guys that are both paragliders and motor guys that are, Santa Croce is a good example of that. Chad, Brad, Chad, and Lou O'Connor and Ann. And we do have a wealth of those type of people. We do not have enough. We do not have the people that have the time or the resources that are in this, unfortunately, because our sport hasn't grown. And I think if we grow our sport, as we were talking about before, a lot of these problems take care of itself, because then it becomes a viable sport for people in business and that do have these skills in both paragliding and motoring. Because we do both, and yes, there are a set of skills with both that are required. Paragliding has a set of skills that are similar to motoring, and motoring has skills that are similar to paragliding. There are some differences, but there are also a lot of similarities. Yes, you have to learn to fly the wing, and if you don't know how to fly the wing and all you know how to do is use a motor to help you with that wing, then you are missing out. I agree with that. But I also agree with the fact that we do have people in the sport that can help advance the sport, and we do need to utilize them. We need to utilize our resources more. We need to encourage people to do the maneuvers clinics and find out what your wing is capable of. Talking to a guy from Alabama this morning, he goes, John, I never knew what would happen when my wing collapsed. He said it always scared the daylights out of me. And he says, I got up there this morning and collapsed my wing and learned how to control it. And he goes, I was amazed at what my wing would do. So education, I think, is something that we are lacking in. And yes, we are falling behind and we are dropping the ball in this area. And being responsible, we do have an association, but we need to back those associations if they are going to require instructors and the people getting ratings to live to a standard. And we have to expect this. We have to have a standard. It has to be set, and it has to be adhered to. It's not that we don't have the standard. It's just that I feel like, personally, we haven't required that to be lived up to, that standard to be lived up to. And until we enforce that and we cause that standard to be lived to, our sport's going to stay stagnant. It's not going to go anywhere. So this is what I'm talking about, changing the culture of our sport. Let's make it unacceptable to be status quo. Let's make it unacceptable for that pilot to come out to our field that's had 2 or 3 days of training and say, listen, you need more training. You need a skill set in their side of the sport. And we also need to do that with paragliders coming into this sport and mentoring.
Okay, and the reason for my comment, now I get to be nice and rude, although it's not intended to be rude. It's intended to be helpful. But I'm seeing hundreds of paramotor pilots, and 198 of them have never learned the basic skills of how to control a paraglider. I went through, my instructor was national champion Scotty Marion. Chris Santa Croce was my instructor. Kevin Bernacki, who's the U.S. team captain. Brad Ganuccio, Enlo O'Connor. These guys were my instructors, and I got that downflow of 40 years of information. And when I look and I see, I can see in 2 seconds watching someone, getting ready to launch or an attempting launch, and I can see in 2 seconds instantly five things that they simply are not even doing, and these guys have been flying for 5 years. They're just missing that because they went to an organization that wasn't started by a pilot, an instructor, an experienced person that had that information. So it's just they're not getting that information assimilated into their brain, and we need to focus USHPA guys that have that experience and get it back from the top down. You can't go with these little silly organizations that are not filtering the information down. I'm sorry if that's offensive, but if I take one look and I see 50 guys that do not have the most basic paragliding skills and handling, you can just look at it, and you know, 66% of you know what they should know, they don't know, and it's blatantly obvious. So I don't want to say that as an insult. I want to help them. I want to encourage them and say, you know what? Look how much fun you're having now. Imagine if you all of a sudden had 66% more skill and ability just, bam, handed to you, which would be very easy. If you spent one day with a world-class pilot, they could just give you the information that you're lacking, and wham, it would make a huge, amazing, miraculous difference. And that's what we're missing. That's why it's so important to stick with the USHPA and the real, you know, master pilots and get that information filtering down, get the instructors trained by these people, instructors trained, so you start the organization properly. Because you started this big dominoes effect with nothing. So you started with incompetence and it's flowing downhill, and now we see massive destruction in our sport and a major problem that doesn't need to be there simply because of the organization that it's going through. So
back to you, Paul.
No, I just want a question for you. Wouldn't it be better, if we're truly all interested in safety of this sport and the individuals, wouldn't it be a lot better to go ahead and bolster the other organizations which you're down-talking and make them a better organization so yet, again, downstream that you can merge them back in together and get all of those people under the same roof? It seems to be a lot better to go ahead and improve the organizations that are there instead of talking down them so much.
Part of our negativity.
Correct. You're absolutely 100% right. That's 100% right, which is why I've talked to the leaders of the organization over and over and over and over. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. Here's the information. It's there. It's free. I'll give it to you. No charge. Here, take it. Please let me help you. They won't do it. So you have to pull away from an organization that absolutely refuses to fix the problems. Well, why? Let's not get personal, okay? That's we know how it goes.
Yeah?
No, we're talking about the USPPA. They absolutely refuse to get these other people involved and acknowledge the real experts of the sport and that 40 years of experience. They're trying to put themselves up as these experts when they have no clue what they're doing, really. They just missed out on all of that background. And maybe they themselves have gotten by with the information that they have. But the problem is a refusal. Yes, absolutely. I would totally support the USPPA if they would allow it. If they would allow this information in there, if they would allow that structure brought in, if they would allow and start glorifying the masters of the sport so people know who to look up to, if they did that, that information would start flowing downhill like huge freaking snowballs, and people would go, wow. But instead, they're banned. They're banned from sports. They're banned from groups. You don't see any of them on any of the USPPA lists. And all of that knowledge is basically banned and extinct. And it's killed intentionally because of people that want to lift themselves up as an expert when they're not. But anyway, now we've got a good heated debate going. So there you go. Because it's just another addition. And, you know, very few people really focus on those extra, sign-offs. They focus on getting the rating and getting what they need to do, so they go through the proper channel. But back to how the information filters down, see, yeah, you brought up a perfect and extremely good point. Hey, I live in Florida. I'm on the beach. There are no freaking paraglider pilots here. the problem is there's no paragliding instructors that got their rating from these guys. See, if you had an instructor and encouraged all of these instructors to go to the super freaking awesome people in the sport, learn and master those skills themselves, and they go through that whole course and spend the time it takes to get their USHPA instructor rating and get that downflow of information, then they could come back to Florida and they would be sharing all of that information, and then every single pilot that they taught, now that you've got hundreds of people that they come in contact with, and every single one just got the benefit of that 40 years of information. But instead, they created this new organization that doesn't have any of that, and they started certifying people, and so now you've got instructors out there teaching that never got the benefit of those 40 years of information. That's the problem, because you've got this huge organization, tons of instructors, training people, and it's growing. Huge dominoes effect going downhill, but going down the wrong hill, ending off a cliff, because you're missing the information. USPA didn't turn their back on motors. They teach paragliding. If you want a motor, there's tons of USHPA instructors that will train motoring. I have a basically a dealer network of over 50 dealers. Very few of them are actually USPPA instructors. Almost all of them are USHPA. There are a ton of them that teach motors. But if the USPPA didn't exist, then and or they went and got the information and got trained. Let's say Jeff Goyne had gone to these guys and really gone through and become an instructor, spent 20 years teaching people how to fly, learning exactly why they do all of this stuff, then started passing off other instructors. Then you would have a downflow of information. But instead, Jeff Goyne's never been an instructor in his life, so he didn't learn this information. He doesn't learn why they do what they do. He doesn't pick up all these techniques of exactly how we teach, why we teach, when we teach what. So then he starts passing off instructors. Now he's got nothing. He's passing them off. He has no idea what to look for. And all of a sudden you've got this huge organization rolling downhill, aiming off a cliff because they're teaching everybody what they just made up and they missed it. So if we could fix it, that's true, but there's a huge difference between a great pilot and a great instructor that's been instructing for years. Tons and tons of things that you have to know about how people learn, how to do it, how to organize it. Plus, Jeff isn't passing people off. I mean, $2 and a box of cereal top and you can get a USPA rating. There's no real experience or knowledge requirements, which is what the problem is. But the bottom line is the problem. It's kind of hard to see, and you know, I apologize if I'm bringing it up, but when I see tons of pilots that are missing just blatantly obvious things that they just never got, if you shared it with them, it'd make a huge difference. When I see that, that's just evidence of the problem. So I would love to solve the problem. If we could take the USPPA and start getting, let's say we get all the USPPA instructors together, we do a clinic with some of the best freaking master pilots, and they spend 10 days or 2 weeks with these guys. Bam, you'd get back in the right track, and all of this information would start to flow out to all of their students. Bring them out, get it done. You could do it through the USPPA. I wouldn't care if the organization. But it has to be done. You have to tap in to that information. I don't want to see someone who has, you know, claims to have taught 1,200 people and did it wrong. So they just taught 1,200 people incorrectly. Because now we've got 1,200 people, and all of a sudden, you know, 50 of them go out and decide they want to be instructors. And now they were taught wrong, and they make up their own crap to add on what they weren't taught. And, you know, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So you have to say, USPPA, either bring your instructors together and require them to have some specific credentials and knowledge and requirements. If they'll do that, awesome, freaking great, I would support them 100%. If they don't, they're a snowball rolling downhill over a cliff, and we're getting thousands of people trained improperly, and it's basically like being self-taught and learning all over again. But, man, I just wish I could see. I mean, I'd love to see the absolute mastery of the glider. And not all the Yushka guys know what they're doing. You know, everybody has to learn. But there's simple things, and there's a lot of information they could have benefited from. And I'd just love to see that happen. See if we could do I think we could do better, and I'd love to help. If there's any possible way I could help, I would be all over it. I'll help people for free. I just worked with a guy for 2 days. Didn't charge him a penny. You know, I want to help that information get out there. But the key is, I shouldn't be training the student. You should have the master pilots training the instructors, so the information is flowing to the instructors. But I'm going to be doing that after this event. I'll be working with people, and we'll get that information transferred. But I would encourage all USPPA instructors to get with a USHPA master pilot and go through their course. Get the rating. Certainly won't hurt them. I mean, how's that going to hurt you? Oh my gosh, you're USHPA. Sorry, can't work with you. Obviously, it's only going to help. It's only going to add experience and knowledge that will then flow to all the students, and all of a sudden, we'll put a dead stop to a huge cancer that would have grown if you didn't do that. That's what I'm saying, and I'd love to help. I want to be a benefit. I want to support the organization, and I'll do everything I can to help and talk it up and say wonderful, happy, lovely, fluffy thoughts as long as we can do it, as long as it can be a benefit, and we can stop that cancer from growing.
We do have a little bit of, well, a lot of an information void in this sport, and for a lot of the guys that came up, they were self-taught, and so there is a side of this sport, and as you all know, we run into them all the time, guys that come out to your field, and they have no idea how to stand up with a glider or motor or anything else, and we do have a portion of our sport that we do need to fix. I think we all realize, I don't think that's any secret to any of us. There are things we do need to fix in our sport, and the only way we're going to do it is dialogue. We're going to talk and discuss tough subjects that nobody likes. And let's face it, we want to always think everything's great in our sport, and for the most part, you know, flying is just incredible. On its own, it's just the most incredible thing in the world. But we do have to address some concerns and some problems that we have. We do have to get more information and better information, and we do have to incorporate better pilots and skill levels into our sport. I am always flabbergasted at how ignorant I am of my wing. And every time I get around somebody like a Chris Santa Croce or somebody like that, I find out how dumb I am with the wing. I'm like, I think I know a little bit, and then I get around those guys and I'm like, God, I'm a donk. And it's really important that we do push, you know, better education and continuing education in our sport, and that we seek out the absolute best information, the most solid information that we can get. And this is what I'm talking about, changing the culture of our sport. Let's elevate the expectation for everybody, for pilots, for instructors, and just bring the level up in our sport. We have to make an effort to do this. What is the correct solution? I don't know. I don't claim to know. I've been flying for 2.5 years. And I think I know less now than I did when I started, honestly. I just realize. And when you start realizing you don't know a whole lot, then you start searching out. And you start looking for things that you can learn and watching people that fly better than you do and then have a better knowledge base. And we can get into semantics and personalities and all this, but I think all of us want what's best for our sport. We all love this sport dearly. I can see it in everybody's eyes when we come out here to fly, and you're about to fly, or you come down from a good flight, and you just got that big old Mickey Mouse grin. And so we all love this sport, and it's going to take, we're all going to have different ideas about how we make this sport better and more responsible, and we're going to have disagreements. But you know something? Reverend Billy Graham's wife said something one time. A reporter asked her, he said, Mrs. Graham, do you and the Reverend Billy Graham ever have a fight or an argument? And she looked at the reporter and she said, well, it's like this. If there are ever two people in a room and there's not some sort of disagreement, one of those people are not necessary. So we're going to have disagreements. We're going to have arguments. We're going to get into it with each other. But at the end of the day, we got to come right back to the table. We need to sit down and go, what's best for our sport? How can we present this sport in a manner that's responsible? How can we make people want to join our sport? And how can we make our sport valuable? If we can take, my favorite illustration is taking a piece, a wrapped up ball of string with a piece of leather on it, taking a stick, hitting it, and running around in circles can become our national pastime baseball. What can strapping a motor to your back with a propeller and pulling a wing over your head and doing what a lot of people dream of since they were a child, running into the air, what can it become? I get chills when I think about that. And that's the vision I have for this sport. And I really want to see our sport just become mainstream. I want to see it a tier one sport like the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NHL. I think we start with a better sport. We start with a better base product, but we got to package it, we got to present it, and we have to be responsible.
I agree with you, John. This is Brewster from the Bad Apples again, 100%. But my message to Dell to take back to the Yushpa or Yushka or whatever they call themselves now is this. We may be the country cousins, us motor pilots. Well, he's only a motor pilot. But you should tell those people back there, wherever they are, that they better come out and embrace us, because whether they like it or not, we represent the fastest. We're like the wakeboarders. We're like the skiers, skiing. You know, the
snowboarders.
We're the snow. Remember the skiers? They're like, well, this, we're not going to allow them on our ski slopes. Well, now they do, and they better allow us in. And there's an egalitarianism going on here, a parochialism. They're like, and this is the same battle that Yushka fought the hang gliders with the paragliders. He's a bag winger. The hang gliders would have nothing to do with him about 5 years ago. He's a rag winger. He is so far down on the chain. And now they started coming up and they took over, and pretty soon they're growing so fast the hang glider pilots are in an anachronism. That's A-N-A-C-H, you know. Okay, Dale. But the point being that we're coming. We're here. And we may be just, quote, motor pilots, but you guys in Yushpa, you better reach out and embrace us. Don't turn your back on us. Don't say, well, it's just you're just motor people. You know, it's just another method of getting in there. You better come out and find us and get us straight and get us in your sport so we can represent that wing and that thing we're doing, flying it properly.
As Dale was saying, would help, actually. You know, he's talking about mastering the wing and stuff. So, and I totally understand what you said. I don't know a lot about the group that you're talking about. I'm not even a USPPA, certified pilot or anything, but I do look for more instruction. I'm probably one of the guys that you're definitely talking about. No, I am one of the guys. You know, I got 3 or 4 days instruction, just enough to get the wing up over my head and get in the air. You know, and I come down here and I see you instructing a guy there in a wing, and I see these guys that actually, you know, Santa Croce and stuff, mastering the wing, and I just sit back and I watch. Yeah, one of the reasons why you haven't seen me in the air, because I'm sitting here watching these guys, as you see, the masters of these wings, and just amazed at how they're just, you know, John was taping Dale this morning, and he's doing it with no hands and waist shift and talking. I'm going, oh my. I understand what you're saying, though. It's a great point. Everybody's got a great point here. And you got some of that? Oh, okay. Oh, Bill.
I just want to absolutely agree with what Brewster just said. I mean, that was hitting the nail on the head. What you are saying is absolutely correct. And the only reason I'm actually sitting here, for those of you wondering why I'm here, is I was told there'd be a fist fight, and I'm really disappointed.
One thing, I do live in Colorado Springs now. Panama City Beach was originally my home. I do live in Colorado Springs, and I have talked to the director of USPA, and we're kind of doing some talking about some things, because I wanted to find out why this wasn't incorporated and motors weren't incorporated in, and we're kind of going through a little discussion there. I live right down the street. When I went in and got my ratings, I went right in the office and got my card, and he's promised to meet back with me, and we're going to discuss some things. So hopefully, maybe some dialogue can be opened up and some things can change in our sport, and maybe some of our side that we've been a little arrogant, and maybe some on their side's been a little arrogant, and maybe there won't be a side anymore. There will just be pilots.
I'd like to just say one thing, rebut on what Dell said. He said that you can get your ratings just by, find, in my opinion, that the instructors are on the same level at all. In fact, some of them, I'm quite positive, never really have done much to get their ratings clear of both the skills and the knowledge base that you must possess. Back to you, Will.
Well, guys, thanks. Thanks a lot. A lot of information. And hopefully we'll all get together. And safety first, guys. Safety first. Will Jones talking PPG Radio. Absolutely. Absolutely need to keep it open. So hopefully we will be able to do that. So thanks a lot again, guys. Appreciate all your information. And fly safe.
Well, there you go, guys. Hopefully you got some information. You learned a little bit more. Very big names in the sport there, I would say, that got a chance to say a few things about the good, the bad, the ugly of power paragliding. As far as the two groups, I don't know much about the hang glider, paraglider organization. I know, of course, about USPA because I am a power paragliding. Didn't know that, you know, there was actually an opportunity for the other group actually to just make the motor part of power paragliding just another ratings. You know, it's sometimes it's hard to understand, you know, just listening to what these guys were saying, why couldn't it just be another rating? So, you know, I don't know. I really don't know what the deal is. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I do know. And you'll never get that from me, that I'll pretend that I know something that I don't. So I'm going to hopefully try to find out more about both groups and why it is what it is. So anyway, we were supposed to have another conversation about this today, but it didn't. Today being Saturday. But it didn't quite pan out, but that's okay. So, you know, it's a fly-in. It's not a talk show. So you missed a good fly-in, guys. If you are listening to this and was wondering what it's like, I tell you what, I got other video, some more video, some more audio to cut up, and pictures. I'll have hopefully some pictures on talkingppgradio.com, video, YouTube. I cannot sit here and tell you how unbelievable this fly-in has been. So I will get a chance to talk to John Black, which is the director of the Beach Blast 09. And we'll see what he thinks. And hopefully I'll get in touch with some people that actually, like I said, that attended, and see what their comments, questions, ideas about the Beach Blast. So anyway, thank you for listening. Will Jones talking PPG Radio. Got more stuff to come. Thanks. Bye-bye.
To the skies very high, just like a dragonfly. I fly above the trees, all around the seas, and on the breeze, to anywhere I please. Oh, I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to get away. I want to fly. Milky Way, river miles, we could just be out.
I wanna fly.